Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
I guess what spurred everything that I'm doing is I used to be a newspaper editor. And so I have been curious about every subject you can imagine for years and years and years. And when I moved to North Carolina, the mountains, there were a lot of UFOs being seen up here. And we started a website called Sky Ships Over Cachers. And that's the name of a mountaintop town, Cachers. It's spelled just like a cashier at the grocery store. And we started the website simply to cover all these sightings. Well, that was back in 2008. And since then, we had just expanded what we have explored. And that's one of the things I wanted to share with you today, the things I have found using Google Earth, searching Mars and Moon and the bottom of the ocean in Antarctica. And I think people would be shocked and amazed at the things that I have found.
See, I didn't even know that that was possible, that you could uncover some of these things. However, I have seen, you know, in the news where people find things on Google Earth and then you come back and look at them, or as soon as they say that those things are there, they're, you know, blotched out or blocked or something like that, you know, where people can't.
That's actually happened to me a lot. And I'll give you one example. When I was exploring Antarctica, I found two large entrances into the planet or into that continent. And I posted the photos of them on our website. And the next day, or 2 days at the most, it was like somebody had picked up a bottle of black ink and poured over the big entrance. The big entrance was about 300 feet across and 100 feet high. And they did this cover up in steps, because first I saw this big blot. And if I hadn't printed the copy of it, I wouldn't have had it. I backed up so I could see both entrances at the same time, again, using Google Earth. And for a very brief amount of time, those entrances were labeled. One said Hollow Earth Entrance, and the other one said Hollow Earth Entrance 2.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me, Mary.
I'm not kidding you. And I've got it. I use the print screen save key all the time. So I have pictures of what I'm telling you about. And then finally, the final step was it turned into a sheet of ice. So you would never, ever guess that that entrance or was even there.
You got to be, wait, is it in this book that we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Wow, that is so crazy.
And that's happened with things I found on Mars, too.
How do you think they're known? Like, as soon as people find stuff and if they make it known, like somehow they know it and they go in there and cover. I mean, how do you think that's happening?
Well, somehow Google Earth is working very hand in hand with those within our government that want to keep all of this a secret, because it's happening at Google. It's the Google Maps that are being changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody's, you know, there's a connection there. Like they're able to know when people are looking at certain things and they're alerting someone and they're going in there and changing it, or something's happening there.
This well, let
really
me tell
weird.
You something that creeps me out a little bit more. I found something else in Antarctica, and I had it on my screen. I was going to call somebody who is well known in the UFO field. You would know her name, but I'm not going to say it. And I decided I was going to take a shower and then come back and take care of it. During the time it took me to take a shower, it was like somebody did an oval. I mean, it wasn't like pixels. It was like an oval painted over what I had just found. And so that happened while I was working on the computer. So I find that even more creepy.
That is creepy, Mary. That is just really wild. Your book is great. The book that we're going to be talking about is Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. Is this, is this available? Like, if they want to get a copy of it from your website? I know it's on.
No, I'm not into the book shipping.
Okay, I got you.
It's, it's available on Amazon, and my other four books are on Amazon too.
Gotcha. Okay. So let me go back to what you said earlier. You said you work for a newspaper. Did your newspaper ever, I mean, I know you guys have a lot of UFO sightings up there. Did they ever report on a on a UFO sighting in the paper?
When I was working for newspapers, I worked for the Orlando Sentinel in Florida, and I worked for the Oakland Press in Michigan. This was before I really got into any of this. So it was before everybody I knew got into any of this. So no, I was not covering UFOs when I was working for newspapers.
You said that you saw, you found things using Google Earth, like looking at, let's say, Mars, which I didn't know was possible. Tell me, how would one do that?
I think anybody would enjoy using this as a tool. I believe you used to have to pay for Google Earth. You don't anymore. It's a free app. And you can scan Mars, the moon, the bottom of the ocean, Antarctica, wherever you want to go on the Earth. And it's amazing what you can find. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't find these things instantly. I have found these over a number of years doing extensive searching. Because you kind of have to zero in and then search and zero in and search. And you don't usually get lucky right away.
So are you actually just dragging the mouse around different points on the planet? Say you want to search the bottom of the ocean and kind of zooming in and see what you see?
There's two ways you can do it. If like throughout the book, I have the coordinates for everything that I have found. So other people can use those coordinates and go find things for themselves. I did that because there's so many people doing Photoshops and having some kind of kick in creating things that aren't real. And so this is a way that people can find out that these are real places and real things. So I think that's important for people to know. And it's an important thing for people to be able to do. So that's part of my effort to make things available to people.
Got you. I have been able to come across a photograph of someone using Google Earth, and where they've actually caught, you know, spacecraft, I guess, flying across the sky. Don't know if it's real or not, but the guy that whose website I found it on, I mean, I've had him on the show. So I don't know what vetting he's went through or whatever, but it looked like it was legit. But who knows?
Was it moving?
It was moving.
It wouldn't have been Google Earth.
Oh, really? Okay. Huh. Okay, that's something interesting to know. Okay,
because
so
they take static images all over the planet and then they piece them together.
Oh, really? Okay. So that wouldn't be possible if you found something moving, like they took, like, I mean.
I would never say never to anything anymore because, you know, that's just the way things are evolving. To the best of the knowledge I have right now, Google Earth would not be able to give you a moving object.
And all right, so we're going to jump into your book here. All right, so as soon as you open it up, you have a photograph here of Mars. It looks like a spacecraft just parked there.
That's what it looks like to me, and that's how I labeled it. And it's no small craft. It is, let's see if I can remember now, it's 3.5 miles in diameter. That's pretty good size. And the vehicle makes a shadow on the ground, so that makes it again look like it's a parked vehicle. And there's a raised hump in the center of it. And there are some UFOs that have been photographed from Earth that had that raised center in the middle of it. So it kind of fits into some of the images we've seen other places. And I found two other things. That's the one that looks like it had just landed. But I found two that looked like they crashed into Mars. And they're still big, not as big as 3.5 miles, but they're big. One of them skidded more than 4,000 feet before it crashed into the soil of the planet. And when I measured it, and there is a measuring tool with Google Earth, when I measured it, it was 416 feet in diameter. Pretty darn good size, not as big as the other one, but it certainly would be one that you would notice.
These, especially the one where you show if this was a spacecraft, it skidded. Do you know if that was an area that NASA has pointed out previously, or anybody in the scientific community that studies this type of stuff has pointed out?
I do not know.
Got you. That is really wild there. Have you seen the photograph, Mary Joyce, of it looks like some kind of upright walking something that they caught a glimpse of, or it looked like something walking. It looked like some type of being.
I would doubt that very, very much.
I was just wondering.
Doesn't mean, again, I don't speak in absolutes anymore, but I've seen enough. Let me give you an example of one of the bogus things I found on the internet.
Okay.
There was this rock that was on the internet, and it looked like a legitimate rock, but it had hieroglyphics on it or something of that nature. And I went and did a lot of searching and found the original NASA photo and found that rock. It matched exactly, but there were no hieroglyphs on it. So some jerk put that in there. Totally fake.
That kind of stuff is just gets on my last nerve.
There's so much really exciting truth out there. We don't need people muddying the waters with fabricated stuff.
Right, right. And they do it all the time.
Right.
By the way, the image that I'm talking about of this being or something is
there's more than one of those things that I've seen on the internet. That's really? Why I have no way of knowing what you're looking at.
Okay. Well, NASA, this came from a NASA, genuine NASA photograph that people kind of, you know, scoured and looked at more closely. All right. I want to look at tell me about the, okay. So you're one of the ones that look at Antarctica before we go back to your book. Are there a lot of places that are, you know, blotched out or looks mm-hmm. like someone's, mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, for example, let's stick with Antarctica for a little bit. There's another woman who found the first one that I've, you know, been friends with and in touch with. Between the two of us, we found five ancient walled cities emerging from the ice in Antarctica. The ice down there is melting really, really fast. And, you know, the first thing that goes in old structures are the rooftops. But you can see the walled structures. And the walled structures are spread out like a city would naturally evolve, like along a river or a hillside or whatever. It has that very city organic look. And those have all been blurred out since we first found them. Now, why they don't want us to know about that, I don't know. When we first began to find these, I was, and still am, very excited because, according to most scientists, that continent has been covered with ice for about 34 million years. That means these are the oldest structures known on the world, in the world. And people think the Great Pyramid is ancient. It's not even 5,000 years old. So that's just a blink compared to 34 million years. That's pretty hot stuff. And we found the first one in September of 21, I believe.
Really? Wow. And is that in the book as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm making you stay on the book today so that if people, you know, people know that they can find the images that you and I are talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to the, okay. You got a bunch of stuff on Mars. I'm really impressed. You must spend a lot of time looking at Mars.
Oh, it was spread out over years. For example, what happened was I didn't intend to write this book. But I was collecting so much stuff, and it ended up in the archives of our website, skyshipsovercashers.com. And I thought, nobody's ever going to be able to connect all this. And it was when I had that realization, that's when I decided to do the book, because it's important stuff and people need to know about it. One of the things I found was way back in 2011, and I was scanning. What I do is I take little brief cruises, and then I don't stick with it all the time. And I took a cruise of the Northern Hemisphere, and I found something that looked like a habitat that people, humans, could live in. And it was pretty good size. It was 700 feet in length. All right. It was 4 or 5 years later that I was doing a cruise at the Southern Hemisphere and found another habitat, same basic structure, but it was literally 10 times bigger. It was 7,000 feet long. So, you know, that's over several years. And then I can put it together in a book form where you can see one right next to the other.
This is just unreal right here. How in God's name did you find entrances into Mars?
Oh, I want to read one sentence to you and explain it before I even get into that.
Okay.
There is a man, his name is Professor Hashim or Ashad or Hashim. I really don't know how to pronounce it. Hayam Ashid. And he was the security space control director of space security for Israel. And he decided to go public with what he knew. And so he made a statement to the Jerusalem Post, which is considered a credible newspaper, in December of 2020. And I have his complete statement in the book, but I just want to read you one sentence. There's an underground base in the depths of Mars where their representatives, the aliens, are, and also our American astronauts. And so I have his statement and his picture, and it's immediately followed by what I discovered of these entrances into Mars. And sometimes you have to get out of the box and think of things differently. Normally, when I scan a planet with Google Earth, I go from left to right or right to left. Well, one day I decided I'm going to go from pole to pole. That's when I discovered these entrances. There were 27 of them, all in a line, spread over 16 miles. They're all basically the same shape. They look like warehouse entrances or openings. The size will vary. They, in round figures, they go from like 400 to 1,000 feet across or in width. And the if you look real closely, the edge of the opening is slightly different in each one of them. And, you know, I just found that amazing.
Well, you know what? Definitely. And I have an interview that's going to come out about this. You know, there's no doubt there's evidence that there was some type of thermonuclear explosion on Mars. And the guy that I interviewed worked for NASA. And so he just, you know, he took a lot of flack for it, but eventually he came out and started talking to people about it because it was just no denying it, that something happened on Mars and it was inhabited. Have you, I know this book just came out, but have you let anyone else look at it, in the scientific community to see what they think about your findings?
I just put the book out there.
This is really good. I'm going to have to buy some copies of these and give them away. All right, let's go back to your book. Let's look at, let's go back to Mars. You show this like rash. You call it a rash.
Well, yeah, I found that a long time ago. And when that's what it looked like to me. It looked like some kind of a rash. And then when I zoomed in, the individual little rashes had a metallic look to them and looked kind of almost like Quonset huts or tubular in shape. And that's another one where after I posted those on the website, they got blurred and turned into what I call squishy looking cockroaches.
Really? You said squishy looking cockroaches. I hear you. Yeah, this is really strange, too. That is very, very strange. This is a good shot. Are these the shots before they actually blur them out to look like that?
I have both.
Okay, got you. Okay. And let's look at the structures, too. You said it looks like train tracks. This is on page 16 on Mars.
And I've got tracks on 19,
yeah,
too.
You're talking about the straight lines going through the...
Yeah, let's look at page 19, because... there's tracks there, and that's one of the last things that I found before I did the book. And I was going by information by an organization called SWIM. I cannot give you the letters. It's an acronym. But it's like they're searching for the most likely places to find water on Mars. And so I thought, if they're looking, life needs water, so why don't I start searching where these people think the water might be. And I found something, and there's two vertical tracks that kind of look like train tracks that go north and south. And then it's like somebody took a dry brush and dipped it in some red paint and brushed it out between the tracks. So I figure there's something really, really big there, because red brush strokes on the planet just aren't normal.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the most recent cover-ups that I discovered.
I'm looking at it. That's just really... Have you ever seen color like that?
No.
Gotcha. That is very, very strange. And what about the two possible human habitats?
Those are the ones that I discovered that I mentioned earlier, finding one in the northern and one in the southern hemispheres.
Got really good illustrations, too. Did you do all this yourself, all the illustrations in the book?
Yeah, I'm old enough to have done many things in my life. And one of them was, I'm also trained as a graphic artist. So I've used that working with children's books for Texas Instruments, talking kids books, which was kind of fun. So I've done this book myself. I know how to lay it out. I know how to do the type. I know how I did it from top to bottom.
Did a good job. Let's talk about Donna Hare. First of all, for those that have never heard of her, tell us who she is.
Donna Hare was a NASA employee. And she worked with in the NASA photo department. She was really very, very well respected. I'm speaking in the past tense because she died about a year ago. And she won a lot of awards for her work as an illustrator and anyhow, great credentials. She went public in 1995 and appeared on a radio show in Washington, D.C., and talked about some of this, some of the things. And I'm just talking off the top of my head. She talked about how thousands of pictures of the moon, especially the backside of the moon, have been airbrushed out. And I do have, I was able to find one example of it, which I include in the book. And not only that, some of them were destroyed. She told one story, which is kind of bone chilling. She was in another office away from the NASA facility. A man came in that worked at NASA, and he had a big gash on his head. And of course, she asked him about it. And he said that he had been assigned to burn UFO photos or moon photos. And he slowed down and started looking at them very carefully. And somebody was guarding him and hit him over the head with the butt of a gun because they didn't want him doing that. So that's kind of a crappy story.
You have the transcript of her interview.
That was hard to find. I thought I could find it through the radio station, and that didn't work. But then finally, I found somebody who had transcribed it. And so I have the transcription in the book. Yes.
And so Donna was the illustrator. Was she?
She was a photo person also, not just an illustrator.
What all did she say she saw?
I don't know everything that she saw, but she had talked to one guy in one of the labs and she looked at something and she wasn't supposed to recognize or see what she was seeing. And, it just gets all convoluted and I don't know if I can sort it out for you real easily.
She was talking in reference to cover up of structures being photographed on the.
Yes. And one of those, you've got the book. So on page 21, I was able to find a slide from NASA. And you can see all the tiny type and explanations at the top and the bottom of the slide. You can see bad strokes where the where two towers were. And it actually says at the bottom in small type, two massive towering structures in terrain covered by tampering applications.
They did that, right? I mean, that came from the...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's the NASA nastiness.
This is crazy.
I know.
It says also at the bottom, moon tower evidence.
Okay. I'm glad you added
that. Wow. This is wild. Discovery J. Skipper report number. This is wild. How did you find this?
Oh, believe me, you don't just find it. You know, I spend a lot of time wasting my time looking for stuff. And sometimes something that looks so simple takes you forever to find it.
This is great here. This is really, really great. Okay. And she's passed on.
I think about a year ago.
Okay. Do you know if she's given any more interviews? I mean, she gave that one in the 80s.
Oh, yes. And I, something I need to do, it's on my checklist. And I apparently she did an interview with Dr. Stephen Greer. It's somewhere in his archives. I just learned that. So I haven't even had a chance to go and listen to that. So I know she's done other interviews. And that one I know definitely exists and I need to check it out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to look at it too. What about the White Pyramid on the moon? I haven't heard about that either. The White Pyramid.
I took Google Earth and I had absolutely no expectation of finding anything on the moon because the space program has been in existence for a very long time. The cover-ups have been going on for a very long time. And I thought the chances of me finding anything are about zip. Well, what do you know? I got lucky. I did find something. And it's a White Pyramid. It's 328 feet on each side or at the base. And believe it or not, it's on the side of the moon that faces Earth. And so I have pictures of it, and I also have the coordinates again so other people can find it.
Okay, wait. I just I just turned the page and here's the Antarctica photographs of the entrances.
Oh, yeah, the ones I was talking about.
This is unbelievable. There it is, like Hollow Earth entrance, and then Hollow Earth entrance number two. Wow,
that was only up there very, very briefly. Wow. I don't know why they put the label up there, you know, because they were clearly trying to hide it. So I just happened to catch it before those labels disappeared.
You can see it.
I know.
Clear as day.
I know.
This is great. This is really great, Mary Joyce. This is page 26. This is great. Okay, Eva, this is great. All right, so let's go on to let's look at something else in here. You got a third entrance here. How did you find? Is that near the other two, or it says third entrance into Antarctica?
Well, that one's probably an active one because it is where there's a whole line of lights. I assume they're lights because you can see kind of a dim. Faint orangish color coming out of them. So it's like a runway. So this may be very much a place to park your vehicle.
Got you. Because it's big. I mean, That's really neat, too, that they have the measuring capability in Google Earth. That way you can kind of see how big these objects are.
Terrific, because just to look at it, you know, you just have no idea.
What's this underneath it? It looks like little tracks or...
Those are the lights.
Those are the lights. Okay, got you.
That's what I assume are lights. And if you look on page 29... I've pointed out two of them that where it looks like the lights are on. You can see a very, very dim, you know, yellow-orange color at the tip.
You can see that.
But they're aligned, and my conclusion is that is a runway. But that's just my conclusion.
All right, so let's go to the disc-shaped object found. That looks exactly like some type of UFO disc shape, just kind of wedged in there some kind of way or something.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, that was great too. Okay, so let's talk about you talk about the reason for Antarctica warming. Let's talk about global warming. Let me ask you, do you believe that's even happening or what?
I do.
Oh, you believe it's happening? Okay. Mm-hmm. Man-made or deliberately caused by some type of technology?
Either way, it's changing. You know, we're having a tremendous impact on the environment. And you can get into other things, whether there's alien forces involved with some of this stuff. It's really hard to back up things when you go in that direction. But it is very clear that the Earth is warming because the shorelines keep, you know, disappearing. And there's also a natural reason for it. If you're on page 31, I show a map of all the volcanoes. The largest chain of volcanoes in the world are in Antarctica. If you look at Antarctica, where South America is directly north of there, it would be on the western side of Antarctica. And that's heating up things, too.
Something else I was going to ask you was, do you believe, like, I've been seeing reports, and I get, you know, other blogs as well. I subscribe to other blogs, archaeological blogs. Do you believe that it's melting to the point where it's things are coming up now where they can see structures that were there and covered up by ice for a very long time?
Absolutely. I mean, since you've got the book in front of you on page 34, that's where I start talking about these ancient cities that we found emerging from the ice. And the first one we found was in September of 2021. And like I said earlier, the rooftops are always the first things that disappear in ancient ruins, but you can clearly see the wall structures here.
I did see, and I think it was Buzz Aldrin years ago, he tweeted something. I saw it with my own eyes. He tweeted something. It was a pyramid in Antarctica, and he said something to the effect of, "We're in a lot of trouble," or something. It wasn't a good tweet. And then he took it off like a few hours later or something like that. But it was showing a huge pyramid in Antarctica, and his message was ominous. And it said something like, "We're in a lot of trouble," or something like that.
Well, I wish you'd made a copy of that.
I think I have it.
Do you?
You want me? I'll send it to you.
I would love you to send it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Because I have not seen it.
Yeah, that. I'll send it to you. Okay, so let's look at this because...
In the pages that follow you know, the different cities. I have some of the before and after pictures where they have, where you can see the city and then they blur it.
And they blur, okay.
You can't tell it's
and that's
there.
On 34?
The whole thing on city starts on 34 and it goes through page 41.
Gotcha. Oh, I see this. Yeah. So you believe there are pyramids in Antarctica?
I have not personally found something that I can say absolutely is a pyramid. No,
okay.
I can't.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
But if I do, I will let you
know.
What
about the flying object that you talk about there at the beginning? Unknown object or vehicle flees Antarctic disaster. That's on page 32.
That is something that those who can't see it, it's a very long, strange looking thing on the ground, on the ice, and there's streak marks. And to me, it looks like something that's fleeing an avalanche. And it's I don't know.
Wow.
It's I don't know. You're seeing it. What would you say?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's fun to speculate. It looks like something.
It's scooting across the ice and it's leaving a track behind
it. Yeah. Wow.
And you can see, you know, I've got a picture of it where you can see where it looks like an avalanche.
Yeah. Let's go to the ancient sunken continent in the Pacific. He's talking about it could be real. It's on 42.
Okay. I don't get credit for the very first one in the book, and that's because somebody else found it. But they inspired me to go deeper into it. They found a structure, I think it was back in, it may have been 2014, maybe, off the coast of Malibu. It's a huge structure. I measured it across the roof of it, and it's, I think, at least 3 miles across the roof. The roof is very thick, and the side view, you can see pillars holding it up, and they're like hundreds of feet tall. And there's also a lot of UFOs seen in that same area. Which makes one ponder a lot of things. Well, I thought if this is a remnant of an ancient civilization, it can't be the only thing. So I spent a great deal of time exploring the entire coast from Alaska down to Baja and found a number of these structures. The one that I find the most intriguing is something that absolutely looks like a runway. Let me see if, since you're looking at stuff, I'll see if I can give you the right page. Maybe I can't. All right, it's page 53. And what I did was, I have a picture of that. It's, a Google Earth image. And beneath it, I have a photo of the Spokane International Airport runway. And you can see the similarity in design. Now, the crucial difference here is the ancient one at the bottom of the ocean, the runway is 89 miles long. The longest runway in the world today is just barely more than 3 miles. That's a huge difference. So whatever civilization existed in the Atlantic in ancient times, they must have been really big creatures. And I know that one archaeologist found a skeleton in one of the Micronesian islands that was like 10 feet tall. And that would kind of support the idea that some very large beings once inhabited the Pacific Ocean, which had to have been above water at one point.
That is very, it looks exactly like the runway.
I know. There's so many things in this book that have made me go, oh my God, you know, you just cannot believe the things that are out there to be found. And the structures in the Pacific are totally different than the ones in the Atlantic. And I first heard about these structures in pyramids in the Atlantic back when I lived on Cocoa Beach many, many years ago. And I was with a friend at the bar on the pier. And we got into a conversation with a couple probably about late 20s, early 30s. And they were still excited because they were divers. And when they had recently been diving off the coast of Vero Beach, Florida, they saw a pyramid protruding up from the sandy bottom. So that was the first time I ever heard of that possibility. Again, that was a long time ago. And since then, again, using Google Earth, I started doing my own searching. I found many different things. But what I put in the book were two pyramids I found south of, I think it's Paradise Island. And I posted those on the website. Well, I want you to know that's another cover-up, because after I posted those, it's like somebody took a strip of photographic material, like a Band-Aid, and put it right on top of those pyramids. So again, because of that print key or print screen key, I have the before and after shots of that.
Really? That is just amazing. Yeah, so
it's a totally different culture. I found nothing like a pyramid in the Pacific, but I find the pyramids in the Atlantic. So again, yeah, it's a totally different culture.
You know, over there, okay, near the Baja Peninsula too, that's where, you know, all the Tic Tac encountered happened down there, where they do a lot of their training. But there's a lot of UFO sightings on that side of California anyway. I do believe there's something going on.
Especially along the, what do they call the channel there? It's in the southern part of, it's the southern coast of California.
Yeah, kind
of. Catalina Island, that area.
Yeah, Catalina Island. That's exactly right. Yep, you're right. Yeah. That's where they had, you know, the Battle of Los Angeles. Yeah, there's a lot of UFO sightings down in there. And the structures, though, man, this is just like crazy. One looks like, I'm looking on page 44. I don't know what that is. It looks like something out of Star Wars that I saw. I mean, this, you know, it's got pillars and a big old roof and just wow. Mm-hmm. That really looks like that is something that looks totally man-made. Or made by something.
Well, it doesn't look like geography or geology did it.
Yeah, geology didn't do that. You're exactly right. That's a good way to put it. Wow. Okay.
Let me jump to another aha moment that I.
Okay.
I was very, very fortunate to be contacted by a man from the Netherlands. His name was Mart Padmos, and very bright guy, and he contacted me because he was taking NASA photos. And because of his computer abilities, he was able to go through and clear out the debris and clear out the interference and zoom in on some of these giant UFOs that are captured by the NASA satellite that constantly monitors the sun. And these structures are all bigger than Mars. I mean, not Mars, bigger than Jupiter, which is our largest planet. And they have totally different shapes. We dub one the or two of them like the Flying Phoenix and the Flying Isis hotels, because it really looks like maybe it could be a cruise ship. You know, it's very easy to imagine some ETs cruising the universe in these huge structures. And in the pictures, the detail is really quite remarkable. There was one that was really, really strange. It kind of looked more like a extension rod, you know, how you can pull it out and make it longer. And, you know, it ended up being longer than the width of the sun. Now, these are sizes that you and I can't imagine, really.
Does he have photos of that stuff? Or, I mean, how can we see that stuff?
I mean, I've got the photos in the book.
Oh, what page was that on?
Okay, the whole thing starts with him on page 59. And so I start out explaining about the SOHO satellite. And again, it takes a picture of the sun every 12 minutes. And those are available to anybody. And sometimes when I go and check on the live feed from there, I sometimes will catch some interesting stuff. But again, it's a matter of timing and luck. But like on page 63, I show the original pictures. And then I show what that one of the flying hotels looks like when it's enlarged, zoomed in on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at it now. Oh, yeah, that's real.
And you can see a very, very, very mechanical structure to all of these things. And they're not like UFOs that we think of.
Yeah, they're odd-shaped or something.
They're odd-shaped, and one of them, I compare it to like a saxophone or a flute with all the different little keys on it.
Yeah.
And that would be on page 66.
What is that thing?
Yeah,
very interesting.
Now, there's a creepy side to this, too, or a possible creepy side.
What?
We were in touch for, I think, about 3 years. So he was, you know, we kept in touch all the time. And then he just went, I never heard from him. He just stopped. And he had a YouTube channel, and it was never updated. He didn't respond to any attempts to connect with him. I don't know if he died. I don't know if he was forced to shut up or stop doing what he was doing. It's an open-ended mystery for me.
Really? You haven't heard anything from him at all?
No, nope. I tried every way I knew how, except make a trip over there.
Yeah, that is very strange. This is, I'm looking at page 70. That is a wild looking object there. And it's got great color too. NASA photo with enlargement bomber. Okay.
Okay. That's the very last section of the book. And they're pictures that the astronauts took when they were in space. And these things are really weird. There's one that I call it the electrified blue donut. And it's almost like a light bulb, like you can see into it. But it looks shaped like a donut. It's out there floating in space. So some of these things, you know, when I see pictures like this, I understand why it might be logical that they're using the term now UAP, unidentified. What is it? It's not flying vehicle, but it's a phenomena. And because this looks like a phenomena, there's one there on page 71. And it looks like the internal structure of an incandescent light bulb.
Yeah, it does. Look at that. I was staring at that. It's like, weird. What in the world is that?
It's weird. But the astronauts took those pictures. Some are from Apollo 10.
Yeah, and I see some of them were from the Gemini 5.
Gemini yeah. 5 and Apollo 10.
It's just amazing photographs. What are these things? It's just really wild. There's something else I was going to ask you about. Have you seen the recent interview with the guy that was supposed to be the whistleblower about UFOs retrieval, that he had something
yes,
to do?
Yes, and I think I know that we're going to be hearing a lot more whistleblowers coming out, because they no longer will. The whistleblowers are now protected. They've changed the laws. They've given them protection. Before, people would never talk, or they would talk only when they were on their deathbed, because they were threatened. Oftentimes, they might lose their life, lose their benefits. Their family might be threatened. So many things were being done to keep them from talking. And now that those kind of things can't be done to them, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more. At the same time, we have to be careful. Sometimes I get my postings. I think I've already posted it. Yes, I have. It's on the homepage at skyshipsovercaches.com. And one of the whistleblowers who participated in the disclosure project on June 12th at the National Press Club, he talks about some of the hidden things in Antarctica. Dug into his background, and he has also warned people about whistleblowers.
What do you say?
Some of these whistleblowers, they have been actively paid to be disinformation specialists for the government, to hide things. So now, you know, can we believe them when they suddenly come out and say something totally different? They may still be on the payroll.
Wow, I believe that's happening. There's so disinformation, people.
We have to be very discerning. Some of these whistleblowers just may be trying to mess things up.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you real quick about this. It's on your website as well. It's a section talking about an underwater UFO. It's supposed to be faster than the speed of sound. And how did you find that story?
Oh, my gosh. How did I find it? I think I just stumbled on it. You know, sometimes I just go searching.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I get lucky. A lot of times I've wasted my time, but that's the only way you have a hope of finding anything.
That's just amazing. Your website's great. You're doing a great job keeping it up. By the way, I do enjoy looking at it. The book here is called Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. Mary, why don't you tell my listeners where they can find out more information about you or keep up with any other projects you're going to be working on?
Okay, a couple of things. On the homepage of skyshipsovercaches.com, there are two columns. On the right, it has the most recent 20 postings that we have, you know, so that would be the most new information that we put up. On the left-hand side, I have things by categories. Near the top, I have one called Editor's Corner. If you go there, you can click at the top on my books, and there's brief descriptions of all 5 books that I have in print right now. So that's how you can quickly learn about what I have. And again, all books are available on Amazon. What else can I tell you? I think the most important thing is to spell cashers. It's a weird name. If I'd known that we were going to head off in so many different directions, I would have perhaps chosen a different name. But it's Sky Ships Over Cashers. Cashers spelled just like a cashier at the grocery store.
All right. Again, the book is called Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. Mary Joyce, my special guest. Mary, it's always a pleasure. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's a joy to talk to you.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of 4, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.